and tell a little bit more about themselves, but I met them when we kids started to play baseball in school, as you know. What a great way to meet families. And he has a great family, parents and his sister, and it just community. But it's amazing how God navigates life. And what you don't see back here, God sees. And it's so cool to see him and his awesome wife, Leanne, and the family that they are coming together to create. I'm trying to remember my train of thought here. It was going somewhere really, really good. Oh, I do remember now. It's part of the series, right? We've been questions that lead to greater faith, and we've been talking about a few weeks ago, we talked about homosexuality. How do Christians respond to that? And we talked about building healthy sexuality requires right thinking. It's like, what are you going to line up with? What's going to be your plumb line for life? We talked about right responding, because we have friends and family that are struggling with sexual identity or attraction in a world that says it's normal and don't feel guilty. And how to respond? How do we respond if we're questioning? How do we respond to friends if they're questioning? And then this third week, and we took a week off because of the women's retreat, because we wanted our women to be able to enjoy this, is we want to end with right building. How do you build healthy sexuality? So I want to pray, and then I'm going to turn the mic over to David and Leanne. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for you are the creator of healthy sexuality. God, I pray as you would the message that you've given Dave and Leanne, that you've grown in their hearts, Lord, would come through loud and clear, Lord, your voice, that the words they speak would be your words. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. I apologize for any coughing fits I get into or any nasally-ness. I've got a cold that I'm trying to battle, but we're just so thankful to be here, and we're thankful that you guys have brought us into your family, and that the last few weeks have been what they've been. We've heard a lot of conversations and have had a lot of great interactions with all of you, and we feel really affirmed in what we're doing and what God's saying about sexuality in today's day and age, and what we can be as believers in the world as we kind of go through this and as we talk about it. And so, I just want to be honest with you guys. We're not preachers. We're not pastors. We've never even considered being in vocational ministry before. But I think all of us can attest to God doing crazy things in our lives, and things that we don't expect. And when we are surrendered to the Lord, we find that we end up in these situations where we're like, Lord, I have no equipping for this, but I'm just going to go for it, because what else can I do but trust you? And so we've mentioned before that we're kind of embarking on this journey, this undetermined amount of time that we're going to be spending on the road, talking to churches like yours and people like you, about sexuality and about this topic that we believe is really close to God's heart. And the world has its own opinions about it and is kind of pushing that agenda really hard. And as the church, a lot of us are like, man, how do we respond to this? And so we are going to be, traveling. We 5 months ago wouldn't be even considering what we're doing right now, but God called us to sell our house and subsequently all of our possessions and buy a travel trailer so that we could be mobile. And so we obeyed, and within 2 weeks of listing our house, the house was sold for more than asking price, and God was, his hand was over it. And then we found this 1976 Airstream trailer that's needs a lot of work. And we feel like God just handed it to us. And it's just been kind of this adventure. And Leanne's an event coordinator. She's been running a successful business for the past couple of years. I've been in the construction industry for the past 3 years. We were running two businesses side by side successfully. And we're laying all that down. We're saying yes to God and saying, we don't know what's ahead, but we're going to go ahead and just and go for it. So we had this whole plan for ourselves. You know, I feel like we do this as believers. We think we know what we're good at, and we make these plans. And so we bought a house 3 years ago in Oregon City, and we've been remodeling it and remodeling it and remodeling it. And we've slowly gotten to the point where it's done. And we were within a couple weeks of it being done, and God unfolded this plan for us. And it was like we really had to say okay and trust, because we've been so worn out. This project has just been this, like, it's been a great learning experience, but it's also just been exhausting. If you've done any home renovation, or really, like, if you've ever painted a room in your house, you know that it's exhausting and it takes a lot of time. And so we feel like we were thinking that that was what we were going to get into. We were going to be, we're going to flip homes and help other people with home renovation. And we are finding out that God has a much different plan for us, and that his purposes for us are completely different than what we thought. So anyway, because of my struggle that I've shared with you guys, battling with same-sex attraction growing up, and then the freedom that I found, we thought that, you know, when God hatched this plan, that we were going to be going into Central Oregon, maybe meet a few people, that's where we feel we're called, and just, you know, hopefully help a couple people find some freedom and help them find some answers. And then one thing after another has happened, and there's been confirmation from people that we don't even know, that have said go, that God's saying go now, and that you need to be talking to people, you need to be sharing this story. And I ran into Scott at his son's daughter's first birthday, and we started talking, and he was like, I think you guys need to come and talk at our church. And it's just been, I mean, we're in this whirlwind right now. We're moving out of our house, and there's all this stuff going on, but we feel like this is where God has us. And this, I tell you all this because I want you to understand how important this issue is, and how much the church needs to stand firm and be confident in what we understand to be true about relationships and healthy emotional connecting and healthy sexuality. There's a lot of brokenness that comes from relationships growing up, whether you're molested, or there's trauma, or you just had broken relationship with one or both of your parents, and that can play out in a lot of different ways. And if you don't have, like what we've been talking about, these buoys that you bounce between, and having a guiding, beacons that you can look to, and a way to find the straight and narrow path, it's really easy to go off into shallow water, or go off into too deep of water, or to run into rocks, or to find yourself in this situation where you're feeling something, you don't know what it is, and the world's saying, hey, if you're feeling it, go for it. Because since the 70s, we've experienced this whole movement of relativism where everything you feel is okay to embark on satisfying, where the church for thousands of years has said, no, there's a way to do things, and there's tradition, and those things aren't bad. And we've gotten into a season of life where tradition has become a bad word. It's become like a four-letter word. We've even seen it in the wedding industry, and people not wanting to take their husband's name for one reason or another, or they're both dropping their names and they're making a new name, and people not honoring their fathers and mothers in marriage, and those types of things. And it's just these little things that we do that we slide into a place of letting go of tradition, letting go of standards. So, like I said, this has been confirmed through a few people what we're about to go do, and this has just been an adventure, I should say. But the biggest thing is that we just found out that Leanne's pregnant, which is exciting. But if you start thinking through the plan, it's a little bit crazy, right? So sell your house, sell all your stuff, buy a trailer, don't have a place to really set down a foundation, and bring a baby home to the trailer. Just a little bit weird. So if we would have had our way, you know, we probably would have planned all this along. But 5-6 months ago, God told Leanne to stop taking birth control, and that we were supposed to start embarking on this journey. Well, we didn't get pregnant. We're like, well, you know, maybe it'll take a while. And as soon as we sold the house, here we go. So if it was our plan, probably wouldn't have worked out that way. But anyway, we stand here before you today just to emphasize, you know, that this is something that's close to God's heart. So we are obviously we've talked about right thinking, right responding the last couple of weeks, and this week we want to talk about right building, and we want to talk about building healthy sexuality. And what we really feel like God's put on our hearts is that building healthy sexuality starts out in the family, and that the family system is a really important system in our culture that was put in place by God. He put Adam and Eve together. He said, reproduce, multiply, be fruitful. And those first kids had parents, you know, and we've had parents all along. You can't come into the world without parents. And there's this big emphasis on the family system, but there's all these things that the world is saying, and there's movies like Baby Mama. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that movie with Amy Poehler and Tina Fey. And, you know, it's basically saying anyone can have a kid. You just go out and get pregnant. You don't have to have a husband. You don't have to have a family. You can just have a kid because kids are great, but the family system isn't really that important. And we're here to say that the family system is important, and it is the place where identity is imparted, and the place where you find roots and you find those boundaries and you find principles and a moral compass and a plumb line to move forward in life. So we believe that as humans, in a lot of different ways in our life, we are charged to impart identity to one another as we interact with each other. We're obviously about to be parents. We don't have a child that we're emotionally caring for yet, or that we're physically teaching and educating how to be in relationship with people, but we feel like God's given us this this word for his people, that there's so much importance in parents knowing that they are appointed to impart identity to their kids. And even as believers, if you have grown children, or if you don't have children, or if you're a grandparent, you are charged as a believer to impart identity to those that you are in contact with. The people that come into your life, the people that you are charged with the care of, you are asked to impart identity to. And so all of these things are impacted by how we are, how healthy our confidence is in our identity. And that's another big topic that we can talk about. I encourage you to think about that. You know, how confident am I in relating to other people, and how confident am I in my identity in Jesus that I can impart identity to others? But we are all charged with this this task to impart identity to each other, and to say you are a child of God, and God has his best for you, and then the world has all of the rest for you. And we want to impart this idea that God has more for you than what the world has. So anyway, Leanne's going to share some more about what it looks like to impart identity in the family and the importance of that.
Hey, guys. What I want to touch base on, again, or David touched, was the first thing that God ever created was a place for us to be, for his beloved to be. That's what we are. And then he created man in his image. And then before there was sin, before there was anything bad, were the first words that God said, it's not good. And I just want to say this so briefly, but it's so epic to me, that before there was brokenness, sin, he said not good. And that was that Adam didn't have a spouse, that he didn't have woman. So he created woman. And Scott touched on this in a previous talk in saying that if it was just about companionship, then God could have created a male or a female for Adam. But it's so much more than that. And it's intentional and it's purposeful. And that's why there are male and female. And then obviously, as David touched on, the very first command and the first action after being male and female is to have children and to be fruitful, multiply, and have a family. So we really do believe that there is just intense purpose in that, and it's so much more than just, well, yeah, we got to fill this place that God created and have all these people. There's intention in that we are wired to be relational. We know that we go into relationship, we create children, we have relationship with them, they go and have more relationship, we have relationship with God. Relationship is everything. There's so much purpose and intention in that. We really feel that man and woman are crucial and central to creation as a whole and what God intended for us here. Woman being taken from man gives reason and understanding for her relational gifting. Something that we can say, females, we're very relational to our core. Sit down, have coffee one-on-one. We love that. Man being created from the earth gives reason and understanding for his unique relationship to the work of his hands. Men are very practical, driven in doing things. God created differences in male and female, and he did that with intention and beautiful purpose, as we said. Once Adam and Eve were removed from the garden, due to the fall, gender differences became points of hostility, not harmony. And I think that we're seeing that play out really boldly today. We want to reclaim that. What I love about families is the way that God designed us to learn and grow within them. He created us male and female, bore us into a family where we're able to develop, learn, and figure out who we are. It's vital for families to impart identity to their kids. Mothers and fathers play one of the most important roles in kids and imparting identity. I literally don't know one person who didn't have a mom or didn't have a dad and was fine with it. Everyone needs a mother and a father and a connection with that. That's really important. Or even just the feeling, or at some point, one of us, all of us have probably struggled with just wanting our parents to feel proud of us or like what we're doing, feel impressed by us. There's a reason for that. There's a wiring within us to have that connection with our parents. One of the things I want to explain in regards to being female or male is that within your family, there's a part where you need to teach your same-sex child how to be that sex. So as a daughter, obviously, I looked to my mom to figure out, how am I supposed to be a female? What does that look like? What does that mean? How do I relate to other females? And then to my father, I looked to him and I thought, obviously not consciously as a child, but unconsciously, it's, how am I supposed to interact with men? How are they supposed to treat me? What is that interaction supposed to look like? What's appropriate? When these things get broken down and we don't have a healthy understanding and connection with our same sex as well as the opposite sex, that's when things get broken and fractured. And that's why I think there's a lot of confusion. So I don't say that in saying, make sure you know exactly what you're doing with your kids and make sure you know exactly how to tell them how to be female and how to be male. But just knowing that there is a beautiful charge that God has given us with our kids and that there's intention and purpose in that and that you have a really important voice and pull in your kids' lives. Kids come into the world with personality, which is like one of the coolest things about humans. And the fact that I'm growing one, you guys, just absolutely insane. Insane. But we know that the child's going to come out and it's going to have a personality and an ability to express themselves. And that's crazy. Like, how does an infant know who they are and how to express themselves? But they do. It's one of the coolest things I think God has done. But something I think that our culture has gotten confused about is allowing kids to express themselves kind of however and wherever, whenever, thinking that if we don't, we're going to thwart their ability to properly develop. I hear many parents, because I'm not one, being worried about messing up their kids if they aren't able to properly express themselves. I think there's a major trend in American culture where we've shifted to focusing more on expression and exploration than a focus on limits, self-control, and standards of behavior. I am not saying don't let your kids express themselves, like make sure you keep them under wraps. We've done that in our history, in feeling like we can't be who we are and we have to be perfect, and that was really boring. I wasn't there, but I heard it was not so great. I think that as Americans, we are typically proud to be American, we like know who we are, and it is what it is, and that's good, but there is a point where we're talking about traditions and standards of having boundaries, of appropriate discussion, appropriate relating, and healthy relating. And I think that we're kind of missing that and kind of letting kids just kind of do whatever they want, wherever they want, whenever they want. There's something that's really vital in saying no, period. We're firm believers that no is a complete sentence. They think that there's something important about teaching a kid why and why something is not healthy for them, why it's not appropriate to touch someone like that, why it's not okay to talk like that. You have a thought? Let's talk about it. You have a question? Right on. Ask me that question. Let's talk about it. We want that to happen within the family. And that's one of the points that we really want to make, is that creating that space with your kids within the family system to ask those questions, to hear them, to not make your kid feel shameful or embarrassed for asking those things, and talking about them, having that discussion honestly and vulnerably is really good. Because if you're not having that discussion with them, the world's having that discussion with them. And within the public school system, we all know it's a little interesting, but even recently, just with new laws that Oregon has passed and being able to say that you are gender neutral, schools now have to teach that and talk about that because it's a law. And so kids are being taught that they can decide what they feel they are, what they think they are, what they actually are. It's causing a lot of confusion. So kids are coming home being confused. We are hearing this more and more, that their kids come home and are just confused and have these questions. And I want to say it's okay that they're confused. It's okay that there are questions. And it's awesome if they're asking you, and awesome that they're coming to you. And we want to encourage you as parents. I apologize that I look like I'm 20. I promise I'm almost 30 next week, and that I'm not a parent. But I firmly believe that creating that relationship and being able to have those conversations, that is central to helping your child develop who they are, understanding who God created them to be, and the morals by which we live by. I think that's crucial. I also want to acknowledge how much is against you and us as parents because of the fall. We know how much is against us because of what the world is saying and doing that is against what we feel God is leading us to do. We all know that raising kids is hard. I'm about to find out. One of the hardest jobs I will probably ever do in my life. I know that my kid is not going to need perfection from me. I've worked really hard to say that statement. Anyone else struggle with perfectionism? No? Right on. Just me. You're welcome. I had a fairly controlling mother growing up, and that has led me to struggle with perfectionism, which I've worked through. And being able to say, I don't need to be perfect, is an awesome victory. But if you think about the relationships that you have, your friendships, do you expect perfection from them? I hope not, because we're not perfect. What we hope for and want is honesty, a realness, vulnerability, and just being able to connect and relate and talk with each other and be real with each other. That's what our kids are looking for. That's what they need from us, that honesty and that vulnerability. When you don't have an answer for something, I'm not sure. I don't know the answer to that. But then talking about the Lord, talking about Christ, what he did for us, talking about how to relate with him, how to bear his image, those are good things to talk about. Kids need parents who are honest, real, and vulnerable. I think I've said that 18 times in the last 10 minutes. One of the things that I feel people keep asking us is, what do I do with all of this? How do I respond to all of this? The craziness that's going on with sexual identity and the new laws in our state alone, how do I handle this? How do we embark on change? A couple weeks ago, we had a woman stand up who said that she had a conversation with a coworker, and it was difficult for her and confusing, but also she just wanted to say, love wins, which is Christ. Obviously, the homosexual community has stolen that, but love is Christ, and he wins. But what I want to say is that global change does not come from being on a platform and talking to thousands and thousands of people. Global change happens when we build individual relationships within our communities. So what's important is focusing on your intimate relationships. That's your marriage. That's relationships with your kids, relationships with your siblings, with your parents. Those are the things that create global change. I think in today's society, we think, well, there's so many people on the planet. How the heck am I going to get this awesome word to everybody? Well, you probably weren't meant to get this awesome word to everybody. But you are given a word. You are given a move in your heart to talk to the people who are in your life. When you share that with someone, when you impart the truth and identity to your kids, then your kid goes to class and they say, abortion is an option and it's a really good one. Your kid stands up and says, that's not what my mom said. That's not what my parents taught me. That's not what my family taught me. And actually, that's not what I believe, because I believe in God. I've heard of those stories too, you guys. That does happen. Kids do that. That's pretty cool. And that is what's important to think about, is not, what do I do with homosexuality as a whole? Well, what do we do with sin as a whole? Homosexuality is sin. Homosexuality is brokenness. What do we do with that? Jesus. So, obviously, we feel that sexuality is a really important topic. That's why we're about to devote our life to it, and we want to talk about it, and talking about what happens, how things get broken, how they get kind of messed up, and what we can do about it to redeem it. But the focus and the goal is always the same, and that's Jesus, and talking about the gospel. So when we encounter people that are confusing, like yesterday when I went to get deli meat and I looked at someone who was clearly a man wearing makeup with pink hair and a name tag that said Nora, I am not about to say, hey, I don't think that what you're doing is right. I don't think that your name should be Nora. That's very confusing for me. What's more important is that I treat that person, as a human, and love him or her, whatever he desires to be called. I don't know that person. I don't have an intimate relationship. Therefore, I haven't earned the right to speak into their life. What's important for us to remember is that as believers, we have this awesome ability to intercede for people, to pray for people, to love people in a spiritual way. That is a goal overall. And then in our intimate relationships, when I know someone, when I spend time to get to know them, when they spend time getting to know me, I earn the right to speak into their life. We don't have to have solutions for people. We don't have to have the perfect words for people. We need to have a grace for people. And then focus on your intimate relationships, your intimate friendships. You shouldn't have 30 of them. You should have a few of them. And you should focus on them, love them, and treat them well. And that is how we impart change. That is how we preach the gospel more and more and more. I really firmly believe that. The other thing I would like to say is simply, every era has its focus. Whether it's women's suffrage, civil rights, AIDS movement. Today, it feels like sexual identity. That is the current issue of the age. That doesn't mean that is now our 100% focus. No, our focus is Christ. Our focus is the cross and the redemption and the power and freedom that is in that. So although sin is kind of this huge thing of sexuality and issues within that, and we obviously want to focus on that with pointed things to talk about, I just want to say and encourage that our goal is Christ. Our goal is the cross and redemption because we need redemption because we are all broken people. Christ didn't come just to talk about homosexuality. He came to bring freedom because we're fallen, broken people. The problem is brokenness, and that keeps us from healthy relating.
Thanks, Leanne. I just want to leave you with three things to think about, and then we'll wrap up and I'll pray for you guys. The first thing is, Leanne mentioned it, no is a complete sentence. This is a practice that we have within our marriage, within friendships, relationships, and within with relationships with our nieces and nephews. We don't have kids yet, but we encourage you that no is a complete sentence. It's good to set limits, and it's good to say, I'm saying no to something. Limits are good. Boundaries are good. So that's the first thing. No is a complete sentence. The second thing is there's God's best, and then there's all the rest. And I know that sounds kind of rhymey and cool, but it's true. God has a plan and a purpose for us, and he has a very distinct path for us, and that's his best. And we are left with free will to choose whether we go with God's best or with whatever else comes at us. So when our kids ask about sexuality and all that the world is teaching, it's good to show your kids that you agree with God's best and that you're able to say, this is what God says, and this is what I say. This is what I want for you. When we were in college, we went to a church in Corvallis that the pastor gave a really great image of this ship that before the fall, the ship was upright, and it was this big ship, and then the fall happened, and the ship capsized. And from the fall on, there's been all these people that have been born into this ship that's underwater. It's upside down, and people are learning that the water is where they live, and that the things that are in the water, this is normal, right? It's just normal that we're constantly soaking wet and cold, and we can't breathe very well, right? But Christ came to right the ship, and he came to overturn the ship, and the kingdom of God is each of us becoming a part of the body and helping to right that ship. And so I encourage you in that God's best is for us to find the way that we are to cling onto a piece of the ship and try and get it righted. And there's a movement of people. There are people like you who are wanting truth and wanting to have answers and words for the world right now. And there's God's best, and then there's all the rest. And then the last one is impart identity in the confidence of Christ. Everything comes from a root in Christ, that your identity is rooted in Christ. And as God has given us a charge to bring all things back into the kingdom of God, back under his name, we do so by walking in authority and conviction and love. So thank you so much. Let me pray for you guys, and we'll close it out. God, your heart for your people is so good. and it's so much bigger than we understand. And just as we talked today, there's so much more that you have than to get caught up in small, seemingly large topics. And you have such a heart for us to just come under your wing and to hide in your shadow and to know your love and your grace and your strength and your goodness, God. And so today I bless this congregation of people as they wrestle with some of the things that we've been talking about over the past few weeks, and as they continue to have conversations with family members and friends and people at work and patrons and clients and all these people that they interact with, God, that you would lead their hearts and that you would move and that there would be just an acceleration of your grace and your understanding in their minds, that you would give them wisdom so that when they encounter difficult situations, they understand exactly what you have for your kids and what your best is for your kids. And I bless them, Lord, and I thank you so much for how you work and the ways that you move. And we just want to say as a congregation that we trust you and we love you and we want what you want for the world and we want your will to be done, Lord. Amen.
Wow. Wow. You have a voice. God has given you a voice, and it's so wonderful to not yet 30. And close. But I just don't you see just like the tip of what God is wanting to do in his church here? Don't you just see that God is building his church, he loves his church, and the assignment that he's given David and Leanne is so right? Don't you see, hear the voice that they have and the conviction and what God has given them to be so life-giving, so solid, so hopeful, so future-giving, so influential? I mean, I don't know about you, but I am, well, you can tell me, but I'm excited to see what God has for them, and I want to have them back here again. And I before they go, I want us to pray for them as they send out, as they describe it, kind of the, it's like, oh my goodness, what did we say yes to? It's like, we said yes to you, God. We didn't say yes to this uncertainty. It's like, but you know what? That's what trusting God's about. He says, I got stuff to do that's better than what you can think or imagine. They didn't imagine this. 6 months ago, they couldn't imagine this. And here they are. This is an exciting place to be. And I'm excited for the stories that will come, not only from Dave and Leanne, as they walk out their obedience and who God's planted them and growing them to be and the influence. I'm excited the message that went out through them. As God gives you a voice to speak to your friends, to speak to your children with confidence and understanding and just those simple things and some significant things that they articulated today, I pray that it would just go right to your soul. Join with me as we pray for Dave and Leanne. If you feel led, extend your hand this way. Dear Lord, we just thank you for Dave and Leanne. We thank you for the ministry that you've given them. And Lord, we thank you for just even the hard things that you've brought them through. Lord, in circumstances, in relationship with each other, Lord, that showed up things that they didn't even know were there. The brokenness, their personal brokenness, and brokenness that came from circumstances, and some just, we are all fallen. We're living in a ship that's upside down, and we think that's normal, but we don't understand why it's so painful. Lord, and it's painful because it needs redeeming, it needs righting, it needs to be right side up. Lord, we just pray a blessing over Dave and Leanne. Lord, you provide for them. Lord, as they trust you, as they walk in faith, as they step out, Lord, that you would again and again affirm the mission and this season that you've imparted in them and they're embarking on. Lord, that it would be a great adventure, an adventure of confidence, an adventure of joy. At the same time, you would continue to grow them. Lord, if we pray for the doors to be opened up through many churches like ours, that they could come and be a voice and encouragement and give tools and give words to what people know in their heart is right. We love you, God. We love you that you redeemed. Thank you for such a time as this, Lord, in a voice in this season of sexual health. Lord, sexuality that is so big, but it's a voice that the church needs to be good at talking about. We love you, Father, in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Amen. Well, they're going to stick around for a little bit as I kick over the water. They would love to talk with you and share with you and even and pray with you. And I know that there'll be several of you that want to and share the time with them because they are special. But they're anyways, Lord bless you guys. Have an awesome week.